I'm showing 7:40, so it's time for us to get started. And if I'm not mistaken, next week is going to be a test, your first test of this second semester, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right? Okay, I see people looking around. I think people shaking their heads. So what we're going to do, we're going to do somewhat of a review. We're not going to move forward. We're going to just basically, everything's going to be coming from the lesson that we've been talking about on how to build honor, because that's so very important. A lot of the book talks about people who dishonored and things that caused them to lose out the blessing of God because of dishonor, but we need to know how to build honor. We're going to be looking at some other aspects of dishonor later on, in the second half of this semester. But, you know, for this session here, we're dealing strictly on building honor. I'm going to get into a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the lesson, and I'm going to do more of a review than an actual advance in the lesson. Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person here. We thank you, Lord God, for this school of ministry. I thank you right now that every student is getting all that they need to be successful, to be anointed, to go out, Lord God, and to do the works of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you right now, firstly, Lord God, for your son Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, that made all of this possible for us, Lord God, giving us the newness of life, Lord Jesus. We thank you for our apostle, the visionary here at Word of Life Christian Center, at Ever Increasing Word Training Center, Lord God, and the vision that you have placed upon his heart, Lord God, and the school, Lord God, and what God is doing through his apostolic teaching, and how God is setting up government, Lord God, which we are a part of. And Lord God, we just thank you right now for what you're doing in our lives individually and collectively, Lord God, that we will never be the same, Lord God, because of the word that we're receiving, because of the grace that's on our lives, the anointing that's on our lives, Lord God, and the goodness that you have, Lord God, that you have bestowed upon us. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, what I'm going to do starting off, I was reviewing. I also teach a foundation class for new members, and basically that class is basically called the Culture of Honor, which is a class I know you guys either had or taken now, or some students are taking, depending on whether or not you're first or second year student. But what I want to do, I was just looking at my book, and it blessed me how what we're teaching and what's in the Culture of Honor, how those two things just coincide. And I'm gonna just read some things from it, and because it kind of seams some things together. It says here that the culture of honor is an environment conducive to the Holy Spirit operating in it. When you have a culture, and when you're talking about a culture, you're talking about a lifestyle. Different cultures around the world, different lifestyles, different way of how people do things, how they go about their everyday lives, and the customs and the mores of a particular society or civilization. We're talking about, you know, the spirit of honor, but that spirit of honor creates a culture of honor. And it says here that culture of honor is an environment that's conducive for the Holy Spirit operating in it. Or the culture of honor creates an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can move freely. What we want when we operate in honor, and the reason why we're learning how to build honor is so that by us walking in honor, we're producing and generating a culture of honor. And when everybody collectively as one body of believers begin to know how to function and operate in honor, then God's glory, God's power, God's goodness, all that he is, all that he can do, and just the manifested presence of God can come in our midst, and people are blessed, and lives are forever changed. And we're seeing that in our services, because it all starts off with individually people understanding honor, understanding how to walk in it, understanding that, you know, you honor different ranks, different levels. There's protocol. You can build honor through serving, through obedience, you know, through protecting your man of God, through operating under a covering, all these things that we've learned in the last couple of weeks. These things help us build honor, and by doing so, it creates an atmosphere where God is honored. And when you honor God wholeheartedly, I mean with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind, with your whole being. And when God is honored, now the Holy Spirit can come down in a greater magnitude. And by doing so, people are blessed because the atmosphere has been set. It says here, the spirit of honor is access given by one by the reverence of what God is doing. When in other words, we're giving God access to come down and to cohabitate with us because we're honoring him. We're honoring one another by honoring apostolic authority or apostolic sources, you know, prophetic gifts, you know, pastors, teachers, evangelists, by recognizing and honoring and respecting the gifts that's in men, it creates an atmosphere. And at the same time, we're honoring and respecting one another as men and women of God, anointed of God. And we're recognizing people's God-given roles and God-given talents and abilities and yielding to it. And by doing so, now it says here, at the heart of this culture of honor, it causes a sustaining supernatural lifestyle. And that's what we're endeavoring, you know, that's what government is all about, so that we can have a supernatural lifestyle and sustain it, not just once in a while or every other Sunday or once one Wednesday out of the month. No, we want to have a sustaining. Every day of our life, we operate in a supernatural lifestyle. I'm going to give you this brief illustration, something that really didn't happen at work. I was talking to a fellow coworker who had put in for a job, and after he interviewed, he didn't get it, so he was a little kind of disheartened, and he pulled me over to the side in a side office and started talking to me about it. And I heard his complaints, and I kind of felt for him, and a lot of things he's saying was true. And he said, look, I'm going to take this, you know, to HR, and if I don't get no results, I'm going to corporate and have. I said, well, if you feel like you need to do that, go right ahead. And then as I rode off from talking with him, you know, because he was trying to get me to buy into what he was doing for support. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to him. He says, Greg, he says, you're not on the labor system. You're on the favor system, you know. He's trying to accomplish something through labor or through works, through accomplishments. But you're here, and I've placed you in favor. So it's a supernatural lifestyle. It's where, you know, and how can I explain it? It's where God's favor is, you're just favored. No matter where you go, the blessings of God, problems normal people have, you don't experience because of the favor. But it all stems through you walking in honor properly, honoring and respecting those people who are in authority and honoring God. And by doing so, you're now sustaining a supernatural lifestyle. And when that lifestyle is sustained, that's when signs and wonders begin to flow. And what I'm reading from this material here actually comes from our foundation classes. Shut up, please. There we go. It comes from our foundation classes. Let's listen to this. Where the body of believers are totally dependent on living out their true identities as sons and daughters of God. That's what the culture and the spirit of honor will do for you. It would enable you to live out your true identities, who you really are. You know, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. We've been made more than conquerors. You know, God has given us, you know, a blessing and honor, and he's crowned us with these things. And when we walk in our God-given identities, we can't help but walk in favor. Also, too, we are armed with the truth of the gospel. Where leaders' primary role is to empower the saints and know God's that God is walking in, that we're walking in the fullness of God and what he says we are. That's so very important. And it goes on and on. I can really just get into it more. But one of the things that it points out here, it says, is how it is important to honor God and to honor God's representatives. Those people who God has placed in positions of authority, as you honor God first, but at the same time, if you don't honor God's representatives, technically you're not honoring God, because they are operating in what is known as delegated authority. And so when you dishonor people God has placed in delegated authority, you're technically dishonoring God, because you're not functioning in government properly. You're not allowing protocols of the law to function as they should by giving honor to whom honor is due. And I'm not going to go too far in that, because I just wanted to kind of touch some excerpts on that. Okay, what I'm going to do now, we're going to do some highlights of a few things we talked about in the last 2 weeks, and then I'm going to do a quick review. In the area of humility, I know last week we were talking towards the end about wisdom, and then we got a little bit into humility. But in the area of humility, a person's real power must be seen in their ability to walk in humility. And that's a total dependence upon God, having no confidence in their own ability. A humble person is one who submits their life totally to God's will. When you walk in humility, and I stated this earlier, it's not a weakness, but it's a dependency upon God. Because when you humble yourself, the Bible says, humble yourself before God, and he will exalt you in due time. You know, before honor is humility. So when you walk in humility, you basically walking in God's will, doing what God's called you to do. Right now, because I'm doing what God's called me to do, I'm walking in complete and total humility to God, because I recognize my dependency is upon God. It's not in my own ability. The education, the training, or whatever I had over the years, I'm not dependent on my training. I'm not dependent on my education. Sure, they do help and they do aid in your ability to communicate and to articulate and to bring forth points and what have you. But my dependency is upon God. So a person's real power must be seen in their ability to walk in humility. A total dependence upon God and having no confidence in their own ability. A humble person is one who submits their lives totally to God's will. Amen. And one of the things I pointed out a while back was about Moses, how the Lord instructed Moses to write in the Bible that he was the meekest person on the face of the earth. And the reason why, because he did God's will. Even when people were up against him and trying to, Miriam and Aaron were two examples why they came against Moses for marrying the Ethiopian woman. But Moses stood there humbly, and God dealt with Miriam and Aaron. But Moses, in his humility, still prayed for them that God would deliver Miriam, you know. But it was because of his humility. Okay, let's move on. We want to talk a little bit about uprightness and conduct and integrity in heart. Integrity, let's give a definition of that. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral conviction. Godly principles, moral uprightness. Integrity is a personal choice, an uncompromising and predictable consistent commitment to honor moral, ethical, and spiritual values and principles. In other words, wise individuals know how to conduct themselves. Whatever we do, we want to do it with integrity and heart. And what that does, that develops character on the inside of you, because you walk in integrity, in uprightness, being honest, being sincere, integrity is so very important, because if a person who doesn't have integrity really can't be trusted, because their words have no validity, because you don't know if they're telling you the truth, or they're lying to you, or they're falsifying something. But a person who has integrity, they're going to always be upright. And integrity will and definitely always builds honor. So we want to be people who walk in integrity. Okay, let's move on, and we're going to talk a little bit now in the area of how to continue to build honor. It says here, it is important to encourage. Now, this is in the area of serving. Serving produces honor, and I can really attest to that fact, because when you serve faithfully, the Bible says that promotion, it doesn't come from the east, it doesn't come from the west, promotion always comes from God. You know, when you serve, you want to always do it as unto the Lord, not to be seen, not for any vain glory or for ego purposes, but you want to do it in lowliness and meekness of heart, serving unto God. It is important to encourage now leaders or people who are in authority, pastors, evangelists, prophets, or what have you, to develop serving opportunities for people who have ministry gifts. What I mean by that is, in this church here, there's opportunities for people to serve, you know, parking lot attendants, working in the nursery, you know, prison ministry, greeters, all kind of intercessors, you know. All of these are opportunities to serve. And you see, one of the things we need to do is to find, Lord, what is my niche, or what area have you called me to serve? What anointing, what gifts, what talents, what administrative skills you may have that God has placed in you? One of the things I've learned is that you are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. You want to, because that's where God's power, God's ability flows out of you like water flowing over a waterfall. Very natural. You know, a lot of people, especially my wife, she's not here, so I can kind of mention a few things. She said, you don't project yourself enough. I'm not a very, you know, driving individual. It's just line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, and a lot of times I'm very repetitive, but that's what's in me. You know, I've always used the illustration, my kids, I can start a sentence, and because they heard me say it so much, they can finish it, you know, but then I know where you got it. You know, my natural father was that way. He was a drill sergeant, and he would drill certain things in me as a kid. I can remember him talking to me over and over about certain principles, certain things that I need to do as a young man, and you know. And while he was talking, I could hear what he had to say and finish his sentence. But that's when you know you got it. The Bible talks about taking the Word of God and putting it up on your doorpost and reading it. You know, basically what you want to keep it before you. You want to keep the Word and certain things before you, because what happens as you keep it before you, it gets into your spirit. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about serving opportunities. It is important to encourage leaders to create serving opportunities for up and coming ministry gifts. But at the same time, pastors need to develop what is known as an exit strategy for their church. Okay, you have to know how to get in the way and how to get out of the way. When you're serving, you serve, you get in the way, you do what God's called you to do, you serve in that capacity, and then when that service is over, you just step back. And you never want to do it with any other agenda but the agenda that you're serving under. I never have any hidden agendas. I say, Lord, one of the things, and I shared this last week, you know, you always want to say, Lord, search my heart. Know my thoughts, Lord God. And if there's anything, and it's not necessarily always sin, but you want to make sure, Lord, that my agenda is my church or my man of God's agenda. I'm doing this because I know you've called me to this, and this is where I belong. And that's so very important. Okay, let's talk a little bit about exit strategies. You have a lot of, and I'm talking to people more so who's aspiring for ministry or have the gift of ministry gift of a pastor upon them. You might be sitting in a church right now and chomping at the bit to start a church or start a ministry, but there's a season that you have to serve. You have to prove your faithfulness through serving another man. You know, if you cannot serve the man of God that God has placed you under, how do you expect God to give you your own ministry if you're not serving? Every minister who's worth their salt had to serve under somebody, you know, in most cases. And all through the Bible, we've read all kind of illustrations of people who serve, and through their service, God was able to promote them in his season when he knew that they were ready. And that's so very important, because what happens, because if you don't have when I say extra strategy, that's serving opportunities. You know, I serve not only in prison ministry, but if someone's sick here at the church and if they're under one of my circles, I do hospital visits. And when I go do a hospital visit, I'm not just going there to sit around and chat. Most of the time, I'll bring a cassette that I have that has nothing but healing scriptures on it. I bring some speakers and I tell them, you know, I want you to sit and just listen to this over and over again. You know, and it's just scriptures where Kenneth Hagin just reads from the Bible, healing scripture. So you're constantly getting the word before you. I pray with them, because whenever I go out, I'm always conscious of the fact that I represent Word of Life Christian Center. You know, I'm serving in and under another man's ministry, and I don't want to do nothing that's going to bring a reproach to the ministry or my man of God. And when you do that, you're operating in the spirit of honor, because you recognize. I talked about this last week about the covering, because when you go out with that pretense, you're going out with a covering. You know, when people see me, I really want them to see Apostle Thompson. I want him to be displayed through me. The things he's taught me, what I've learned over the years, you know, when people ask me, well, what, you know, I want them to ask, what church do you go to, if I haven't already told them, so that I can let them know, this is my headquarters. This is where God has called me, and I'm serving in this capacity. You know, that always puts it in perspective, and it keeps that covering over you. Because you're not out in your own ability, you're not out in your own strength, but I stated last week and weeks in the past, the anointing of God always flows down. Amen? All right, I've stayed on that long enough. Okay, let's move on. Another thing is submission and obedience. We want to always operate in submission and obedience, and that's so very important. We stated here, So obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. Sarah obeyed, but she also submitted, you know, and that's going talking about a scripture that we had read earlier a couple of weeks ago. But another area of submission was when Mary told the servants in John chapter 2. She told, because that was during the wedding, and she said, whatever he says to you, do it. Why? Because When you submit, okay, give you an example. Last Sunday, our man of God had us skip. He said, skip to my loop. And people were just skipping all down the aisle. I left my seat, went to the back of the church, and just skipped all up and down the back of the church, operating. And sometimes things that the man of God says seems like, why do I need to know? But there's a reason, because what you're doing, you're operating. You see, God sees your heart and he sees your willingness, because sometimes doing a physical act causes a spiritual breakthrough to take place in your spirit, to where you're seeing yourself free of any barriers, any chains, any limitations. And by expressing it physically, it helps it manifest itself spiritually in your life, and it solidifies what the man of God is saying. But here in this verse of scripture, Mary says, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Why? Because submission becomes the breeding ground for the miraculous. Submission becomes the breeding ground for the supernatural. When you submit to the words that the man of God says, it becomes the breeding ground for the supernatural to take place in your life, for wealth transfer, for deliverances, for operating and doing what God calls you to do, because you submitted. And as I stated earlier, you know, you have sacrifice, you have obedience, but then you also have submission, which is even greater than obedience, because even in obedience, you could be doing something out of obedience. I remember times my dad would have me to do something, and I knew if I didn't do it, I was going to catch a whooping, but I really didn't want to do it. You know, I was obedient, but in my heart wasn't really in it. You know, but when you submit it, that's another level. You're not only physically doing it, but on the inside of you, you want to do it. And that's all the difference in the world, you know, because God don't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. So always make sure that your heart is right. When you submit to God's apostolic source, you put yourself in a position for the supernatural power of God to manifest itself in your life. I'll give you an example. 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, and when they rose, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Topeka. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. He said, believe in the Lord God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So here, by believing, you know, in the Lord, he said, you're going to be established. But God will speak to us through his apostles and prophets. That's government. One of the things we're learning in our classes is how to operate in government. And that's so very important that we operate in government. When the government is established properly and people are flowing in government, well, then all the benefits and the blessings of what that government holds, you know, is available to you. You know, for years, you know, I can remember growing up in church doing it as a duty. But now, for me, it's not a duty, because I know there's a greater calling. There's a greater, what's the word I want to use? That's a greater significance. It's not just a, I don't know what I have on here, but I need to turn it off, because it's, there's a greater responsibility. There's a greater demand, because people's lives are in the balance. And you want to see people blessed. You know, you want to see God's goodness come upon them and what all that God has for them to manifest itself in your life. And as you submit, well, then you can't help but see those things manifest. All right, let me move on. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit now about getting in the area of protocol and honor, to giving honor to whom honor is due. So when the Bible says honor all men, we have to honor gifts where they are, recognizing the grace that's on their lives and honor that grace. You have to respect God's government. I just really kind of talked about that earlier. You have to understand how God's government functions. God's government operates differently from secular government or from the worldly government. God's government operates as a theocracy, which is one man rule, and not a democracy, which is government by the people, by the masses. You know, God's government is a theocracy. One man who has a heaven to earth connection. Now, a dictatorship would be one man, but it's just that man. It's just his ideas, his ideology. But with a theocracy, it's one man, but it's one man who's hearing from God. That makes all the difference in the world. We talked about the heaven to earth connection. You know, God uses his apostles and the prophets, and they're perceiving and listening for what God is saying. And they have a vertical relationship coming down with God. And as they perceive and understand what God is saying, now they begin to speak out and proclaim what thus says the Lord, and they have a horizontal relationship with us. And as we receive it, we take that we've heard and we begin to spread it throughout all the corners of the earth. And that's why the Bible says how the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Why? Because as the apostles heard what God said, and as they followed Jesus when he was doing his earthly ministry, he had a heaven to earth connection. Remember, Jesus always said, only thing I do is what I see my Father do. That was a vertical relationship, him between him. He says, you know, I of my own self can do nothing. You know, what I hear my Father say, that's what I'm speaking to you. You know, that's theocracy. You know, that's the greatest example of theocracy there is, because Jesus is saying, you know, it's my Father that doeth the work. I don't do the work. I'm just a vessel. But he was a yielded vessel. You know, apostles, and see now, you know, when Jesus went ascending upon high, the Bible says he gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, you know, for the perfecting of the saints. You know, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a mature and a perfect person. That's what it's all about, you know, but it's a theocracy. Amen? All right. How I'm doing on my time? Oh, great. I mean, I'm doing good. All right. What we're going to do now is kind of do a review. And everybody should make 100 on this test, because we're going to review everything, and there'll be no doubt or no room for doubt. Okay, let's look at humility right quickly. Humility produces honor. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's spirit to submit itself totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. And that's so very important that we walk in humility. Obedience will also produce honor. Obedience is the ability, or I should say obedience is, and we said this earlier, is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. So you always want to walk in obedience, but also at the same time walk in submission. Okay, observing protocols of the law will produce honor. You are observing protocols when you honor gifts in men that God placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. So you always want to honor the gift that's in men. Because the anointing on a person's life is not for them. It's actually for the you. It's for the body of Christ. And the only way that gift could fully express itself is when people honor it and respect it. There are times I'm with people and we might be across at a dinner table or a restaurant, and sometimes for some odd reason, things that God placed inside of me 25, 30 years ago, it'll just pour out of me like water. And they say, I just can't stop. Why? Because they're making a demand on what God placed on the inside of me. And there are other times when you're with certain people, it's almost like a competitiveness, what I know versus what you know. And most times after that, I just shut up. You know, I remember one particular time with the apostle years ago, back when he was following the prophet, Kenneth Hagin. I remember we were at a restaurant, and there was this one guy who came, and he started talking, and the apostle was there. We were all sitting at the table, and it was almost like it was a competition. And I just watched the apostle just shut down. He just kind of let the guy talk. And eventually, because the apostle never did challenge him on what he had to say, the guy figured, I'm talking to myself. So he eventually got up and left. And when he left, I remember the apostle, I'm so glad that guy left, because, you know, it was pointless, you know. But when you make a demand, you know, one thing I recognize, when I'm around somebody that I know is gifted, I like to listen. I don't want to do all the talking. You know, I don't want to, because see, you never learn when you're just saying what you know. But when you allow somebody to speak into your life that's anointed, well, then now you can pick up more information. And so what's on them, and as you pull, make a demand on what's in them, they're gonna pour it out. Why? Because you're making a demand. I think I shared last week about I was one of the master vision bearers. I went up to speak to him maybe a year ago. It might have been this summer. I don't remember the time. We've been having so much going on, it seems almost like an eternity. But after I spoke with him, I just stood there and listened. And he began to share some things with me about parenting. He said, you know, this day that we live in, there's a lot of distractions. And if you've been tuned in or coming to pastor's been teaching on Sunday evening about generational salvation, about all the distractions from the internet that we have. What this brother was sharing with me, it was actually Dr. Carlos Williams. He said, when I grew up as a kid, when my dad went out to work on the car, it was understood that I had to be out there looking and observing what he's doing. He said, but now kids these days got so many things that's distracting them. The TV, the video games, texting, the internet, just you name it. Most of the time you got to kick them out the house because they got to be hooked up wired to something wireless for some device that they're playing with. Everybody's doing this. And he said, you have to take time and sometimes just take your kid out, you know, and talk to them. You know, and that really, because even my son, even though he's walking in adulthood now, but the only time we get to really talk is when we're driving somewhere or we go he and I to a restaurant and just sit down and just talk and communicate. And a lot of times I just listen to him, let him talk, and then by listening to him, I can now impart things that, you know, based on what he's saying, that's going to be a benefit and a help to him. Let me move on. Let's see here. Serving produces honor. Here we go again. Me and these, see, I'm still new at all these new devices. I thought I had this thing set right, but it keeps ringing. But we'll just keep pausing it or whatever it takes. Okay. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. This scripture shows an example of serving produces honor. When you serve, when you keep the fig tree, You're pruning it. You know, I shared a week or so ago about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Isaiah chapter 40. And that waiting is not just sitting around being still, but it's actually when you go to a restaurant and you waited upon, you're serving. That person who's a waiter serves. And when you keep the fig tree, it says you're going to eat the fruit. In other words, when you serve in a ministry, you're going to eat the fruit that ministry produces. When you serve faithfully in a ministry, you will eat the fruit or the nourishment. The anointing that's on that ministry is going to trickle down on your life as you serve faithfully. And that's the best way I can explain that one. Okay, covering produces honor. It is not enough to have a covering, but you need to know who's covering you and how you're covered or why you're covering. Because individuals that don't know who their covering is or how or why they are covered will not develop honor. And I shared some things last week about knowing the how and the why of a covering. Amen? Let me move on. Without all contradictions, we said, the less is blessed because of the better. This scripture refers to the what we call upward giving, which is sowing up so that the anointing or the blessings of God can come down on your life. Giving produces honor. And that's Hebrews 7:7, sowing up to or into an anointing so that the anointing and the blessing that's on that anointing can come down. Let me do this. Okay, a person's real power, and we talked about this early, a person's real power must be seen in their ability to walk in humility, having a total dependency upon God and having no confidence in their own ability. Integrity, I'll give you this definition again, is a quality of being honest and having strong moral convictions, godly principles, and moral uprightness. It is an uncompromising and predictable, consistent commitment to honor moral, ethical, and spiritual values and principles. We will always want to walk in integrity. Leaders, we just talked about it, need to have leaders need to serve or to create serving opportunities for young ministry gifts. Because see what happens when there's no serving opportunities, people who may have wrong motives are chomping at the bit to minister. They'll try to find a few people in the church and go off and start their own ministry. That's why it's so important to have an exit strategy. If you know somebody have a gift and a calling on their life, you want to give them opportunities to show their faithfulness in the ministry. When I started here, I started basically working with sound video. I worked the sound booth in the old church, worked it for years, came on off days, did whatever needed to be done. And then after I finished the school of ministry, then I was called into prison ministry. When they started cell ministry years ago, we were talking about that right before service. I was a cell leader serving in that. And I never quit an assignment. I'll get promoted out of assignment to something else, but I never get tired and give up. Now, you might get weary, but the Bible says don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. So recognize nothing you do for God is going to be of no avail. God's going to bless you because of your labor of love. Amen? All right, submission. Is the breeding ground for the supernatural. We talked about that. And this having to do with obedience and submission produces honor. Submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord's anointing, miracles will take place. As you submit, Mary told him, he says, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And so the men submitted to Jesus. They did what Jesus told them to do. And when they brought the barrels of water, that if the pots, and they filled them with water, when he prayed, that water turned unto wine. Why? Because they did. The little boy who submitted his lunch to Jesus, and he broke it and he gave thanks to God. And when they distributed his lunch, which was only a few fishes and bread, it fed multitudes, and there was 12 man-sized baskets full of the fragments that was left over. When your service is put in the hands of Jesus, it multiplies, and that's so very important. We must understand how God's government operates. And I spent a lot of time on this earlier. It's not a democracy, it's a theocracy, a one-man rule, but a one man that hears God and that obeys and submit to God. How am I on my time? Okay, great. Okay, let's see here where we want to go. Apostolic leaders and pastors need to be protected in two ways. Remember we talked about that? Apostolic leaders and pastors are people, gifts, they need to be protected not only physically, but also spiritually. We talked about, security, anything that you cherish, you want to protect. And that's why it's so very important that our men and women of God, that we protect their anointings. We protect them physically and we protect them spiritually through blanketing them with prayer, not putting them in a position where the world is just, they're bombarded with things they don't need to be bombarded with, and that's why people, I'll never forget when the apostle, that first message he preached to a large mass of people on Money Coming, which was at Ken and Hagen camp meeting back in, I guess, the late 80s, early 90s. I don't remember the exact date, but I was at that meeting. And it was a breakthrough moment in this ministry. But what I remember most vividly after that, the apostle and his family went to the restaurant. It was in the Doubletree, right across from the Tulsa Convention Center. I sat over a distance away, and he sat in the middle, and his family, Sister Carolyn, the First Lady, Reverend Leroy Thompson Jr., Reverend Montrell, Miss Shauna, I think Darnell was young, but he was there, and nobody could get to him. They had to get to the family first, because see, when a man of God, once he finished ministry, he's still under the anointing. He's coming out of it, and you need to be protected, because it's almost like, you know, you're in between two worlds. And I remember people coming to him to shake his hand, but they had to get to the family first. And the Lord just was showing me that's covering. His family is there. They're protecting him, protecting that anointing. So people just won't come and just, you know, be a, you know, yeah, because I've watched, you know, and I've seen the prophet after he had ministered. Kenneth Hagin, I think I might have shared this with you years ago when I had left. It might have been the same meeting. I had left, and I was in an elevator, and I was supposed to go to a certain floor, but the elevator went to the top floor, and his right-hand men was with him, holding him up, and he was still under the anointing. I mean, when that elevator door opened up, the anointing of God flooded that elevator shaft that I was in that elevator, and they had to hold him up. His face almost shone like an angel, simply because of the fact that anointing was so strong, and he had to surround himself with people that would protect, because you might give everything away, because that love, and it's just pouring out of you. God's goodness is just pouring out of you. So it's so very important to protect the anointing. Amen. All right. How am I, Byron? Got one or two more minutes? 5 minutes? Okay. We got we can do a few more. Okay. Let's see which one I want to cover. I think I hit most of them. But basically, what you need to do is just go back and look at your test. It's going to have some multiple choice, some fill in the blank. But you want to put the word in your heart. Put the concepts, the principles in your heart, and begin to start to daily apply them to your life, to what you're doing now. Whatever area in the ministry of health, whatever you're doing at your church, internet audience, you know, begin to apply these principles of building honor. Because, you know, as you build honor, and the more people that builds the spirit of honor, it's going to produce a culture. So now it's not just one or two people, but it's everybody producing and displaying honor. And when that happens, now you have an atmosphere and an environment that's conducive, because people know how to respect the gifts in men that God has placed in them. So now God is able to do more, because there's a more of a reverential spirit of honor in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the people. Because as you know, in the book of Acts, it says when they were in one accord, in one place, that's when God came and great manifested, and his presence was just manifested in greater degrees. And the Bible says even in some instance, they received a double portion, or they received, they got the Holy Spirit came in again, just like on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because God is able to flow. Because when you have yielded vessels and everybody on one accord, you can't help but be blessed. The power of God can't help but manifest itself in a greater degree because of honor. Amen. All right. I'll see you guys next time. And I just thank God that you're going to do well. I know you will. Praise God. All right.